To sing with the choir, and since we started to rehearse this song, I've been just humming every day this beautiful song. So thank you. Thank you.
Qin Shi Huang,
the first emperor of China, is one of the most important rulers in Chinese history. He became king of the state of Qing when he was only 13 years old. And he became emperor of China in 221 BC at the age of 38, after he conquered and unified all of the other warring states, putting an end to feudalism. He would continue to rule the Qin dynasty for 11 more years until he died. Qin Shi Huang was known to be a brutal tyrant who had aggressive political ambitions and expansive visions for his country. He standardized Chinese characters, measurements, and currency. He built a massive new national road system, the Great Wall, which he built to protect the northern part of China from foreign invaders, as you know, is now one of the several wonders of the world. Clearly, he had a profound influence on Chinese history and culture. But his most stunning project only came to light in 1974 when local farmers uncovered strange figures while they were digging up a well. Excavations have since revealed sections of a grand funerary complex filled with sculptures that depict Qin Shi Huang's army. The super large collection of life-size sculptures of the emperor's warriors and horses is called the Terracotta Army. Despite his great accomplishments, this emperor, Qin Shi Huang, was always worried about his own death. He had an obsessive fear of assassination and longing for longevity. He even sent out his ministers to search for an elixir of immortality, something that will keep him alive forever. When he finally accepted that he would die anyway, despite all his efforts, the emperor decided to use his wealth and power to build a city-sized grave, tomb, mausoleum for himself. So he ordered craftsmen to create the life-size terracotta army sculptures so that they could protect him in his afterlife. Scholars believe it took probably almost 40 years and, of course, millions of laborers to build that army. By the time Qin Shi Huang died in 210 BC, his mausoleum was surrounded by more than 8,000 clay soldiers, along with horses and chariots and civilian figures as well. It's amazing. I, if you have not yet, just try to Google and then this terracotta army and then see the scale, to see the pictures and diagrams of this special historic treasure. I marvel at the time and resources that the emperor spent on himself, trying to secure his
eternal rest. About 200 years later, a Jewish rabbi named Jesus of Nazareth taught people about a different kind of king of kings. Instead of a warrior conquering king, he spoke of a good shepherd king, one who ruled over a kingdom called the kingdom of God. Like Qin Shi Huang, Jesus brought people together, but not as a nation contained within a physical boundary or a dynasty based on birthright. Rather, Jesus welcomed the people into a kingdom that would go beyond all national boundaries and unite people across time. Instead of teaching people to amass fortune and power in this life while creating a false sense of security for the afterlife, Jesus taught his followers to be generous with love, forgiveness, and kindness. He taught them to be weary of the unusual gravity of material possessions that would draw them away from God's kingdom. He spoke in parables, simple and earthly stories that disguise deeper spiritual truth. One such story was about a man who had abundant harvest. It was so good, in fact, that he needed to build a bigger barn to contain its bounty. So he thought to himself, hey, with this accumulated wealth, I can sit back and just relax. He thought he could just eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Jesus finishes this parable with this warning. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Qin Shi Huang built the ultimate barn for himself. A palace mausoleum guarded by terracotta warriors he thought would support him, protect him throughout eternity. However, despite the earthly resources and meticulous planning he devoted toward his final resting place, his man-made kingdom of clay slowly broke apart, and all the beautiful colors on the statues faded away as soon as they were excavated. How unfortunate for this emperor that Jesus was not one of his advisors, trusted advisors. May his loss be now our gain. Jesus tells us to be rich toward God, specifically warning us to not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. These words were recorded in Gospel of Matthew. Why did Jesus teach us these things? We know that his ministry was to release the captives and give recovery of sight to the blind. In many ways, our attachments to earthly possessions keep us
in chains and unable to see the kingdom of God already in our midst. Jesus seeks to liberate us to the reality that we do not have to wait until we die to experience the kingdom of heaven. For it is not just a far away, far off place where we move into after we die. Like in the song, "I Will Fly Away." We hear that song often at the funeral or memorial services. Maybe I'll try to sing it. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Friends, Jesus Christ boldly proclaims to us that the kingdom of God is already present here and now. You don't have to wait until you fly away at the end of your life. Whenever we do the will of God and align our lives with God's love and God's purposes, we find ourselves in God's kingdom on earth. We have no fear of death because Jesus' offer of salvation, once received and experienced, secures our lives into eternity. Jesus tells us to live a life generous in every way. For it is in our giving of ourselves and our gifts and talents that we encounter the assurance of our salvation. We experience firsthand the everlasting joy and peace that is a foretaste of what it might be to spend eternity with God. What a blessing it is to behold the kingdom of God in the goodness of life we live here and now. There was a second reason Jesus taught his followers to be generous. He wants you and me to bless others with our generosity. Rather than gather our resources for ourselves, he wants us to be a launch pad for other people. You might be wondering, what? A launch pad for other people? What do you mean by that? So let's take a look at this video. Are we ready? This inflated raft-looking thing is called the blob. One person sits on the end of the blob, and it's not that much fun until a second person jumps up from the top. When the second person lands on the blob, the first person is launched to great heights. Now, here comes Tony. Of course, he understands the concept, but is not sure about the heights. He's hesitant to jump. He's hesitant to jump because of his fear. Look at other people. As you can see, everyone is enjoying jumping. By jumping, the kids are launching others and being launched themselves. Everyone is having a great time. But Tony is not sure about this. After so much pondering and walking back and forth with great reluctance, he finally does it. Without being pushed, Tony takes the risk and jumps and he launches someone else off the block. Now he is in the position where he can be launched into the air. Look at his face. You have noticed that, his face? That expression on Tony's face is much better than when he was hesitating, doesn't it? When you are generous with what you have, your time, your talents, your money, you bless other people. You launch other people. You lift them up, and you also discover that by jumping boldly, you are positioned to being launched yourself. By lifting up others, you are lifted up too. This is what our church is seeking to do. And that's what I witnessed last night at the home of Jim and Daleen. Rough. I hope I'm not embarrassed. I will not embarrass you by telling this story to the whole congregation. But since I already prepared, I will just tell you. As you know, Jim and Daleen, they direct our choirs, both children and adults, and they do both vocal and bells. Every year, they open their home to the choir members and family for a Halloween party. Once again, all those who came to the party last night had a great time. I did too. We just were just laughing and talking and eating and so much fun. I'm sure Daleen and probably Jim too spent so many hours to decorate the house, to get ready. Their home was just beautiful inside and outside with so many things that will make children so happy. And I'm sure they spent many hours to clean up afterwards. Yet, they looked so happy last night and making sure that everyone was having a blast, great time. And guess what? They had to come to church so early this morning because it happened to be the Sunday when our bell choir played too. So usually they come earlier for the choir to rehearse with the choir, but they had to come even earlier than that for bell choir, additional choir rehearsal. But I don't think Jim looks grumpy. Daleen looked so happy as she was giving a children's moment, and Jim still looks very happy. You see, as they blessed and lifted up others, so were they. And that's what happens to so many of our church members. I see that. On a daily basis, people come to share their time and their gifts, their commitments, and they look happy. As they bless our church ministries, they are blessed with so much joy and happiness. Here is another example of blessing and being blessed through generosity. Elaine Bondano, who coordinates art and spirit ministry at Maine and Elmwood Jail, wrote this in her email. 1 week, this is not the whole email, but just part of it. 1 week, when I was reviewing what we had done previously with one of these groups, I asked what they took away from the class. One man raised up his arms and said, "You came and just loved us. Wow. The program and unwavering dedication of the volunteers has continued to be a meaningful, successful, and soul-developing experience for all involved. We are extremely grateful to Campbell United Methodist Church for all the support it has provided over these last 7 years, both financially and with volunteer time. Do you get it? When you are generous, with what you have, like in the video, you launch others. You bless them. You lift them up. And in return, you too are blessed and lifted up. This is why Jesus calls us to be generous. However, many of us have not entered this life of generosity because we are just like Tony on the platform in the video. We think, if I am generous with anything, my time, my talent, my money, I will not have enough for me and my family. I'm so busy. Where do I have time? Where can I have time to give for ministries of our church? I barely make every day with what I earn. How can I give? There are so many other people who have much more than I do. So they can give, but not me, not yet. If I give now, I would not have enough for me and my family. But think about it. If we take a plunge into this generous life, we catapult someone else. We create great joy for someone else and also for us. For many of us, the hardest place to be generous is with money. We believe and say these: I cannot lower my lifestyle. I cannot pull back. If I change my lifestyle, I might not have enough for my future. I might not be able to have what I want, what I envision for my future, and then I might not be happy. But remember, Jesus warned us about the spiritual blindness caused by money, wealth, and possessions. Let us hear those words again that we heard in the earlier. They come from today's scripture reading. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Qin Shi Huang created the Terracotta Army to secure his lifestyle, even in his afterlife. He spent his fortune and power for that. But his life was just over when he was buried along with the 8,000 clay soldiers. On the contrary, Jesus did not accumulate anything, but gave away everything, even his own life. And see, he is living. He's still living. He's alive evermore. He's not just only living for himself, but for all of us, for the whole world, for all God's children. You might remember this song, the musical Wicked. There is a song called Defying Gravity. So as we come to the end of our conclusion of our worship series, Defying Gravity, let us hear some of the lyrics of that song, Defying Gravity, from the musical. It's time to try defying gravity. I think I'll try defying gravity, and you can't pull me down. I am through accepting limits, cause someone says they are so. Some things I cannot change. But till I try, I will never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love, I guess I have lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost. I would sooner, by defying gravity, kiss me goodbye. I'm defying gravity, and you can't pull me down. My friends, as we make our financial commitments toward our ministries next year, may we align ourselves with Jesus Christ, who leads us into life in the here and now, as well as the eternal rest to come in our heavenly home. May you experience heavenly joy and peace as you take a leap of faith and defy gravity. Thanks be to God. Amen.